So my name is Ola, if you don't know me. I'm part of the eldership team here at Grace Church. And today, we'll be continuing on our series on the Lord's Prayer. But I would like us to think about some of the words that's come out already. They've set the tone of what this morning is all about. God is already speaking to us. You know, we heard that his banner is over us. His banner of love is over us. And he is ours, and we are his. And even Alan came and shared the fact that there's no other place to be. You don't even want to try anywhere else but to be in Christ, to be with him. And I love Derek's prayer as well. Lord, that's where I want to be. You know, it reminds me of Psalm 27 when it says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. And so, continue on that series. I'll be still on the Lord's Prayer. In the last few weeks, we've looked at our Father in Heaven. We've looked at hallowed be your name. We've looked at your kingdom come. We've looked at your will be done. Last week, Tony was teaching us on your will be done. But today, we'll be focusing on give us. Give us our daily bread. You know, in the book of Luke, it was recorded that the disciples went to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus replied to them. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also are forgiving our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I've been praying, thinking all of that over ourselves today. But the first thing I probably want to mention is, isn't it comfortable or comforting for us to know that God wants us to actually come and ask of him? That is comforting to me. That I'm not just stepping out of boundaries or I'm doing the wrong thing. God is saying, come and ask. Ask of me to give you. I'll tell you what is even more comforting. What's more comforting is knowing what happens to those prayers that we say at the back end. Revelations in chapter 8 gives us an indication of this. It says, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. So it means he's just not telling us to come and ask. We can see what happens to those prayers. It goes right before the throne of God. So God hears every prayer. And he answers them according to his will and his purpose. Every single one. Even the one that you think, God has not answered that. Perhaps you're not looking properly. Perhaps you're not seeing the bigger picture. And that's not all. The Bible also let us know that our Lord Jesus Christ is currently sat at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Romans 8, verse 24. It means even the ones we forget to pray about, Jesus is interceding on our behalf. Even the ones who pray wrongly, he's there making that intercession. He's saying, no, don't mind, Tony. That's not what he should be saying. This is what he meant to say. So we have every reason to be confident and bold to go before him and ask. So the question is, why don't we pray? Or should I say, why don't we pray more? With all this irrefutable evidence in the Word of God. But I get it. But I know I'm also in it. I know it's not that easy. It can be a struggle to pray. And that's because it is a battle. And we know that. We've heard it some, even today, even as Alan was sharing. It is a battle. And the Bible reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. And that is why it is not a coincidence that as the Lord taught us to pray, he made it obvious that there are other pertinent things that are of more priority for us to consider in prayer before we get to give us. And some of those things, we've talked about it today, they're more important. And these things help, if we get those things right, it helps to shape our give us. Our give us is, we act those giving in a different way. And top of that is relationship. It is absolute relationship, wanting the will of God to be on earth. Because we understand that God is sovereign. Tony, in explaining his will last week, talked about the sovereign will of God. And he reminded us of what happened in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed and spoke, "My Father, if it is possible that this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He understood the sovereignty of God. He knows that God has the perfect plan. Even though he's privy to it too, but he was 100% man. And just like us, when he tells us to pray, he's praying, but he's praying, "Lord, not what I will, but your will be done." Because that is ultimately what is best for everyone. It is clear that God is not against us asking him for our personal things. As a matter of fact, he encourages us to come to him daily for our daily needs. Just like the parable of the unjust judge, when the widow kept knocking at the door of the unjust judge until that judge answered her. God wants us to keep knocking, keep asking, keep praying without ceasing. But he wants us to be effective and productive in the way we ask. And that is why he taught us to pray in this way. To first consider, "Hallowed be your name. His kingdom come. His will be done." Even before we get to give us our personal things. You can imagine if your child comes to you. You're just coming back from a very stressful day at work. And just at the door, you have not even stepped in. And he just said to you, "Dad, I've been needing £100 tomorrow. I'm going out with my friends and we're chilling in town. And I've said yes, so yeah, I've been needing £100. I guess you'll be standing there thinking, "Hey, where's the love?" Not even, "Hello, Dad, welcome back home. How was the day?" Oh, Dad, you know you're the best dad in the whole wide world. Even though at that point I'd be thinking, "Oh yeah, what are you after? What do you want?" But even that, we'd be more inclined to want to say yes. If it comes with that kind of relationship. But even with all the love that you have for that child, not because you don't love him, not because you don't have the money, you might not want to give him with that first attitude. The way he came in, just saying, "Dad, nothing." You're thinking, "I'm your dad. We have a relationship. Don't we know each other anymore? Can't we even talk before we get to, I need £100? So it is important that we focus on his will, his kingdom, and then we can get to give us. Because that helps even the way we ask to give us. So God created us with relationship in mind. And he wants us to have a relationship with us for our own good. He wants to have a relationship with us for our own good. We've talked about it this morning. He wants a relationship with us. It is for our own good. God is the creator, and we are his creation. And his will for us, and main purpose why he created us, is to represent him here on earth, to bring heaven here on earth. Ask me why, how? By multiplying godly offsprings. That is part of how we bring the kingdom of God here. If you go with me on this journey in the Bible, you will see what I mean by that. Genesis chapter 1, right from the beginning, God created Adam. And God said, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, after he's done all the creation, the first thing he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. So if God has finished all of this, in that undiluted, unadulterated state of man, God said to man, dominate and replenish the earth with God-like beings like you that I've created. In this pure state. But of course, we know what happened. The first produce happened outside after man had fallen. So the first produce was not God-like anymore. Man lost that relationship with God. And so, we see that. But then, if you fast forward again, you go to Genesis chapter between 5 and 9, God made another attempt to give man a chance by saving one godly man, Noah, and his family after the whole world was destroyed. And again, the first thing he said to this man in view of a fresh start was dominate and replenish the earth with people like you, godlike people on earth. Genesis 9:1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Again, we know what happened. So God went again. He moved to chapter 12 of Genesis. God called Abraham, a man called Abraham. He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. After he called him and walked with him and showed him that he was God. And Abraham then knew God as God. He even said, you are my shield and an exceedingly great reward. He walked with Abraham. So when God had done, was done with Abraham, the first thing he said to him was again, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. And what is this covenant? It's basically to be circumcised. To be separated from the rest of the world unto God, doing the will of the Father, bringing the kingdom of God on earth. But again, we know the story. We know what happened to the Israelites and all of that. So now, it is us. After all, Christ has bought us salvation. It paid the price. It's done what no man, what we realize a man could not do. And so, God had mercy on us. He sent us his precious son, Jesus, to deliver and to redeem and to reconnect us back to the Father. And after Jesus' earthly ministry on the earth, Jesus' very last word to us was the same thing. To dominate and to replenish the earth with godly people. And he went a bit further to remind us of the most important thing in the matter, which interestingly we had from the beginning, but we lost it in the Garden of Eden because we were so foolish as man. So Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Same purpose. Will of God, kingdom of God here on earth, that his will be done. And that's why we are in this, speaking and trying to get everyone to know God. That should be included in our prayer, even as we pray for our own personal things. Even the very phrase of give us reminds us that we are not our own source. So the question is, you might be here today, and you might say, I don't understand what he's saying. So the question, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Does he know you? As a child in the house, are you engraved in the palm of his hands? is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you can't answer yes to any of those questions, at the end, we're calling out for anyone that wants to probably just give their life, get to know this Jesus we'll be praising about, that we know it's excellent to be. He makes the difference. Like Alan shared with us, the difference between the darkness and the light is massive. And Tony was saying, it's not a joke. This is a matter of life and death. So at the end, there'll be an opportunity for you to give your life. But if your answer to that was yes, 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 and yes, then this second question is for you. How is your relationship with him? Are you in constant fellowship with him? Do you wake up in the morning and the first thing on your mind is, good morning, Jesus? Or is it, what's happening on social media? Now, please don't get me wrong. I know the battle is real on this side of heaven. There are lots and lots of distractions. But the real question is, are we still making those faith-filled steps? Are we still working on our desire, on that desire to get closer to God? To be in a better relationship with him? Or have we lost the desire completely, that we can't be bothered anymore because we feel just so overwhelmed with all the distractions in the world? Well, be encouraged. Matthew 6:31 encourages us not to worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us now. I know those things can distract. Those things like, well, I need that. But let the focus remain our relationship. Let it be strong and steadfast with him. All those other things, they will be added, even as the word says, and they are. They are minor in the big issue of things. They're important to us, but let's get the right things first. The basis, the foundation, let it be solid. Again, there will be a chance at the end if you want to pray at the end regarding any of those things. If it's a complete turnaround, you want to know him afresh, or you just want to increase that relationship. You want that relationship with him to be deeper, to be better. There's an opportunity for us to pray at the end of the service. So off of the back of the strength and depth of our relationship with him, our prayers of need will almost always be in line with the will of God. If that relationship is solid, when we're asking him to give us, the things we're asking for will almost be in line with the will because we know the Father. And most likely will be answered because it's accordance to the will of God. And some of those prayers sometimes will be answered even before we ask. Isaiah 65:24 says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. That is those that stands where the will of God is. The relationship with him is deep enough. That's why we experience things like that. So what are we to ask for? He's called us to ask. The passage says, give us this day our daily bread. And we all know that our daily bread represents our basic needs, which varies from physical to spiritual to social to emotional to financial to psychological. Everything. God wants us to come to him and ask. I haven't gotten the basics covered. He wants us to come and ask. When Jesus' disciples were worried that Jesus' physical need in terms of food had not been met, he replied to them, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which broadens our scopes as Christians. That besides all these shouting, pressing needs, which are great to pray for, there remain an even more greater need to consider: a deeper understanding of who God is and a better and deeper relationship with him. Also, Paul, praying for the Ephesian Christians, said, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And our knowing of God does not stop. It's on and on. As long as we're on this side of earth, there's so much more to still know about him. There's deeper relationships to get into with him. When we get to heaven and we will know him in full, everything will be revealed. But as long as we're here, no matter how long you've been a Christian for, the deeper height, deeper depths, greater heights to still attain for Christ. We can also ask for wisdom, even as it says in that passage, as well as asking for healing. 3 John 1:2 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So God wants complete. When he died for us, he gave us total. He said that you may have life and have life in full. So it's not talking about spiritual life. Every aspect, God is interested. He wants that. So therefore, we can ask him. James 5:14-15 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." So God wants us to ask for healing. And he's even told us, give us what to do. You're looking for healing? Seek the elders. Get them to pray over you. "I wish above all things that you may be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers." He wants us to ask him. So it's obvious that God wants us to come to him and ask for healing. In faith, we should. After all, the Bible also says that healing is the children's bread. Remember the story of the Canaanite woman that went to Jesus Christ and said, "Heal my daughter." And Jesus said, I can't toss the bread that belongs to the children or to the child, to dogs. He's saying healing is our bread. So by all means, we should go and ask if you need healing. And we should go in faith, even as the passage says. So and apart from asking for all this, and the next job, the next house move, praying for husband, for wife, for child, all those things God wants us to come and ask as well. Beautiful, they're important things to ask of the Lord. We can also ask him for gift of the Spirit so that we can help build the church up. Ask yourself, when was the last time you asked for the gift of the Spirit when you asked him? But it is important. Gift of the Spirit. "Lord, I need a gift so that I can be a blessing to your church. Your name can be propagated and be proclaimed all over the world." We can also ask and pray for Christians worldwide. We've just seen the connections in our gift offering. God wants us to pray for nations as well. Pray for other Christians worldwide. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, "Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession." God wants us to ask for nations. And that is part of what we're going for as a church even right now. We are seeking over the sea. So we should be praying for that as well. So not just focus on our personal needs as well, but think about other Christians worldwide. Those Christians suffering in some nations, are we praying for them? So the gift that has been collected today, you might not be able to give, or you've given, but we can also pray. Pray for those nations, that God will reign and rule over them, that they will come to know him as well, every other nations in the world. So there are lots, whole lots of things that we can go to the Lord and ask him to give us. And he wants us to come. But it's important that we are asking in line with his word, his will, and his purpose for us. As we come to the Lord to ask him to give, it's also significant for us to understand our standpoint. Every time we go to him, we should always come in awe because of who God is, but also come boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We come with the understanding of who God is in relation to us. He is God Almighty, who reigns and rules over all affairs, who knows and sees the whole picture much, much better than we can ever see. He is God with a perfect plan, and we are instrumental in the manifestation of that plan. So when we ask of him of anything, our posture should always be like the three Hebrew boys who said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king at the time, that God is able to deliver us from this. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't change anything. He is still God. So to be able to get to that point, it goes back to that relationship with him. And that's why we need to always focus and pray and work on that relationship. That is what gives us the permission to pray. To pray and know that he hears and he will do. Because we know we're asking in line with his will. So our confidence and assurance to come before God and ask is deeply rooted in his character. So we're not just saying we're asking a God that we don't even know. We don't know the kind of God he is. We're going to God that we know his character. God's character is perfectly defined by his unshakable integrity and steadfast faithfulness. These attributes are what assures us that he is inherently trustworthy, entirely reliable, completely incapable of deceit or broken promises. God is absolutely dependable because it does not change. His love, justice, and truth remain constant regardless of human circumstances. Hebrews 13 verse 8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the same God that did those amazing miracles that we read about. And he's still doing many, many these days. And if you want to see them happen, we know who he is. We go to him and ask. God's integrity makes it impossible for him to lie. His word is final, and he is completely committed to fulfilling every promise he has made. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. God remains loyal to his people, even when they are unfaithful. His steadfast love and compassion are continually renewed. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Better still, Romans 5:8, I like that one. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we had no clue. So what he did, it wasn't based on what we've done. It's out of love, mercy, and grace. And therefore, we cannot earn our salvation. But haven't been saved. Oh, and we know what he's done for us. Then we want to do things that pleases him. Because we know all that he has done for us. So what am I saying? If Almighty God has asked us to come to him and ask of him to give us, then we better come and ask very well. Because we are certain that he who has promised is capable of giving us exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask or think. So why don't we ask? Why don't we ask frequently? Could it be because we don't understand the power that's available to us when we pray together corporately? There's so much power when we come together to pray. It will be amazing to see great lots of you tonight at 6 to 7 prayer. Because you know the power that is available when we come together to pray. And therefore, we can all cannot just wait to get into his presence, to just pray, to seek his face, and to know that he will do that which we ask. You know, the disciples were gathered, he says of the disciples, they were gathered in the upper room, praying together, in one accord, then boom, the Holy Spirit came. Even though they were waiting, Christ has told them the Holy Spirit was going to come. But so there are certain things that bring the atmosphere. And when God was telling them to pray, he didn't say, pray, my Father who is in heaven. He said, our Father, corporately. He says in his word as well, we quote, it's a very common, very popular verse in the Bible. It says, when two or three are gathered in his name. It didn't say when one person. Because again, he's trying to make us realize the power is doing it together. Even if we go back to the Tower of Babel, the Bible recorded that they said to one another, let us. Not they said to oneself. If that said one person, they wouldn't have achieved it. Because there is so much power that's available, particularly when children, those that know him, his own children, gather together in one accord in his name to pray together. Mountains move. Valleys are leveled up. So I'm going to finish on Psalm 133. It's a popular psalm that we all know as well. It says, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So beautiful, so cooling, so refreshing. And he went on to conclude that there the Lord had ordained his blessing, even life forevermore. So I'm encouraging us that when we pray, let's pray. Yeah, we can. There's nothing wrong in having our individual prayers, but do not let us take praying together lightly. Because what it's bringing, we're bringing in, you can imagine how powerful you are in Christ. And then this one coming together, and that coming, linking and joining and praying in one accord. That's what I'm encouraging us to today. So let's not take prayer meetings lightly. Let's pray individually. Let's bring that which we have and join with other fellow believers and pray together. If the band can please come up. So what we're going to do today is we're going to pray. We're going to pray together as a whole church. We'll go in groups and just ask your neighbor what you would like them to pray, what you like them to pray for, or you want them to pray, you like what they would like you to pray for them for. And then pray, maybe in groups of threes and fours. And then pray in faith, even with everything we've heard this morning. But before we do that, if you're here and you just want to rededicate your life to God, you just think, well, my relationship, I want it deeper. Or you're here and you just want to give your life to Christ. You've never done it before. You're thinking, I've heard about these things. I want to give my life to Christ. You can come out. Let's do business together. Let's pray together. And if the prayer team can come out as well, for anyone that's ready to pray, we've got a team here that's ready to pray along with you. And I know the Lord God hears us when we pray. He's told us, he showed us in this word this morning. So if you want to make that step, it's all yours. But otherwise, the rest of us, let's stand up together. The band will be playing, and we can just gather in groups of threes and fours and then pray for one another from our heart. And we shall see testimonies coming out of these prayers in Jesus' name.